is going to put that in your heart that he put in my heart. And I just thought it was a normal thing, but I guess I'm seeing different. I just pray, young folk, God will put a burning desire to serve him in your heart. Well, let's look in Genesis 24. Y'all know, many of you do, know my manner. Sometimes I preach a message I don't get satisfied on, and so I have to come back and do it again and maybe add a little something to it. Maybe preach the same thing. I've got to do that tonight. Seems odd. You may think I just hadn't studied, but I've studied plenty. But I'm going to have to go back to Genesis chapter number 24. And I want to look at this servant again. And I just want to talk to you. I don't even think I want to preach to you or need to preach to you tonight. But I need to say maybe some of the same things that I have said. And I think we've lost sight of the fact that we don't belong to ourselves. I don't even know how to get that truth locked in, get it attached. But the fact of the matter is, you don't belong to yourself if you're saved. You just don't. You do not. You are not your owner, if I can say it that way. The Lord is. I'm going to read this chapter. I almost felt like I ought to read it last time. I'm going to read a good part of it anyway. And I know it's long. And here's what happens when we start reading a chapter. We sometimes follow for a little while, and then our mind kind of slips away from it. And then we come back and we really don't get the impact of the chapter. I've done that. I know you all have. But I want you just to try to follow this servant. I want you to think about this servant. And I just want to draw again some parallels regarding this man. And I may just stop along the way and give you a little break in your mind, and then we'll pick up again. In chapter 24, in verse number 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Thank you, Ben. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." Now here's what I want you to get out of verse 2. Notice what it says. He was the eldest servant of his house. And notice that he ruled over all that he had. Everything Abraham had, he ruled over. Now, Dustin and I were talking. If you go back to where Abraham went to battle for Lot, the Bible tells us that Abraham had 318 servants that were prepared for battle. So he had, this man was over, at least, if he is over all he had and he is the eldest servant, he was the head of 318 servants, maybe some wives mixed in there, maybe some who didn't go to battle, who wasn't qualified to battle. So this fellow was not he was not a fly-by-night. He was not a rookie. He was not someone that he just picked out of a crowd. This fella had quite a load on him. And so Abraham said, verse 2, unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou should that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. So here's what Abraham's concern is. He's concerned about getting Isaac a wife. Now, I'm not for prearranged marriage. I don't like parents getting involved too much. And I understand there is an oversight there that is necessary for sound counsel and sound knowledge. But this is how they did it back in those days. And so this was an important thing for Abraham because Isaac was the promise. That's where the promises came through. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs. They were the seed of promise. Now, Ishmael was a son, but he wasn't under that godly line as Isaac was. And so it was important for Abraham to get a godly wife or the right wife for Isaac. And the servant said, well, if that doesn't work out, should I take him back to the homeland? And I guess maybe to let him evaluate the situation. And Abraham said this, whatever you do, don't take him back. So Isaac was to stay in Canaan. That was the promised land. But the Canaanite women were wicked women. They were pagan idolaters. And so he could not find a suitable wife in his mindset, or Abraham's thoughts were, he couldn't find a wife there. Go back to my land. Bring a wife to Isaac. But don't take him away from the land of blessing. And so Abraham, verse 6, said unto him, being the servant, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Abraham saying this, it will work out. The servant's saying, what if she won't follow me? And Abraham said, God will take care of that. And so he has faith in the Lord. Verse 8, and if the woman will not be, and then Abraham says this, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Verse 9, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Again, we find out Abraham had great trust in this servant. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So he knew, this servant knew this, that the servants came to the well of an evening, and many times the young women were the ones that had the chore of getting the water. So he comes to the well at evening, the time that women go out to draw water. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, he's praying now to the Lord, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. There's the answer to his prayer. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit. That word wit carries the idea of knowing, to know, or to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. My, even Abraham wanted his servants, looks like to me, Brother Brian. That's something to me. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house, and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man. Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. For my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if thou give not, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman who the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they arose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Father, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. I ask you now to please help me to unload my heart this night. Father, I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners. You do what needs doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are. I know that reading was quite lengthy. Here's the burden of my heart. We don't have many servants. We just don't have many servants. I could go back 20 years when we first started having missionary, 15 years, however long it's been, first started having missionaries in, I would get two or three calls a week. When I was younger, there were men on a regular basis announcing their call into the ministry. That's just how it was. There was a surrender, a submission, a humbling of oneself to the call of God upon their life. I'm reminded of a scripture, and I'm already getting a little sideways. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, the Bible says this, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now here, and I understand that is a we're looking at a different subject. We're looking at the judgment of God there. But here's what, in Ezekiel, here's what was going on. There was a gap in the protection of the nation. And why was there a gap? Why was there a gap there? Can I tell you why? Because no one was willing to stand in that gap and make up the hedge. No one was willing to. And you know yourself, we can ask for things around here. And Brother Brian, if you didn't get nervous when everybody just sits there and you could sit there too, we might still be waiting on somebody to help us vacuum in the sanctuary. And I'm not saying that to be hateful or smart, but I'm trying to emphasize to you, we don't have many people with a servant's mindset. Now you might say you have a servant's mindset, and if you do, I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. I'll promise you, there's a handful of people around here, if it wasn't for them, they would be very little that we get done. And you folks know that. You're well aware of that. And so my burden is this: there's not any servants. There's not anybody that has a servant's mentality. Now, when I say anybody, keep in mind, I know there's some. I know there's a handful. And I know perhaps, you know what the Lord's one prayer request was? One prayer request. You know what the Lord told you and I to pray about? Specifically, laborers. Pray. The Lord of the harvest said, send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what that is? That's servants to carry out the work of the Lord. Now here's what I'm getting. Why is that? Why is it we've come to the place that we want to worship, we want to feel the Spirit of God, we want to enjoy the blessings of God, but we do not want to serve? Why is that? I asked myself that question. Maybe because we're carnal and controlled by the flesh. I don't know. Maybe because we've let the devil sell us an excuse. I don't have time. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I fill in the blank. I don't even know if that's it. But here's what I'm saying to you, church. There is a gap in service. There is work to be done that cannot be done because folks will not have a servant's mindset. Now the fact of the matter is this: we are servants. You can beat around the bush. You can whitewash it. You can try to pretty it up. You can camouflage it. But when we get to the bottom line, you and I are nothing more than servants. That's why God saved us to carry out His work and bring glory to Him. What is your purpose in life? It's to bring glory to the Lord. You do that as you live for Him and serve Him. Now, we read last Sunday night, I took you over to Romans, and we're servants of righteousness. You can't get away from that. If you struggle with that, I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says we are. After we're saved, we're to be servants of righteousness. That's just the Bible. Now, the fact of the matter is, we're supposed to be servants, but nobody's served. Very few, that's how I need to say it, very few are serving. And here's what I'm saying. Why? Why when I asked, this sounds like I'm mad or upset, and I'm not. If we didn't vacuum at all for 2 weeks, it might not be that big a deal. But why was it there was an awkward silence when I asked for somebody to vacuum for a week or a week and a half? Why was that? Have you ever just thought about it? I hate to even ask it because I know what's... I've even said sometimes before I ask something, now I know there's going to be some awkward silence here, but I've got to ask it anyways. Now why is that? That's the Lord's work. Somebody has to do it. Brother Junior, one day he's 73 or 4 years old. One day he's going to be off the scene. Somebody's going to have to do it. And then we have people that they're quick to volunteer, and once they volunteer, they go just a little while, and then they fizzle out. And I'm not just talking about backing. I'm talking about Sunday school classes. I'm talking about singing in the choir. I'm talking about running the sound booth. I'm talking about whatever you want to talk about, whatever area of the Lord's work you want to talk about. There are some people, knowing that we are born, when we get saved, we become property of the Lord and we're His servants, but they work just a little while and then they just quit. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Why is there nobody standing in the gap doing some of those things that need to be done? And here's the fact of the matter. Everybody feels overworked. I've just got too much on me, preacher. It's too much. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe we've decided to put a priority on other things rather than the work of the Lord. I don't know. And I'm preaching to you, and I'm sharing with you some of the things I don't understand. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to do something. There was something in me, and I say that to you young folk, and really you old folks as well. There was something in me. It's still in me today. I've got 15 projects on the inside of me. I'm sure I'll never get some of them done, but I want to do them. I have a desire to do them. I want to give my life to the Lord. Now maybe that's abnormal for most believers. I don't know. I don't know, but I know there is a great work to be done that has eternal consequences, and there's very few people willing to serve. And so that is the burden on my heart. And I look at this guy, and I just try to pick out some things that might help. Some people can't carry a load. They just can't do it. It's either a physical. I couldn't do very much physically. You get me out working me hard, I'd wear down pretty quick. And I can't carry physical load. Some people can't carry spiritual load. They're just weak. They cannot. They just fall apart. And I understand that. And I'm not trying to I'm not trying to get people to do what they can't do. And I'm not trying to get you to do what you can do, as far as that goes. But that's where my mind is as I think about this servant. There's not many of them. And I wonder if it's because we have the wrong mindset. I wonder that. Are we not thinking right? We're saved. We have no trouble. And I enjoy it too, thinking of the fact that I'm a son of God. I'm an heir and I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I could start picking out. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified. I have no problem grasping that. But what about while we're on planet Earth? Can we grasp the fact that we don't belong to ourselves? And that really what we are, we're servants of the Lord. That's what He desires of our life. That's what He teaches us. And so I'm wondering maybe if it's mindset. I wonder if maybe we don't have a servant's heart, a servant's mindset, a servant's thought process. And I began to look at this fellow, and I was just seeing truth after truth after truth after truth in here. And I come back, and I didn't have peace after I got through preaching Sunday night. And so I just want to come back and mention a few things that maybe will help us. Number one, this servant was focused. I probably said this already. He was focused. Now here's what the devil will try to get you to do. When you start serving the Lord, if you've been coming here for a short while, the devil will try to get you to quit. Brother Brian, Brother Miller's not here tonight. I promise you, you know and I know, the devil's trying to get him to quit. That's what he's trying to do. If he can't get you to quit, he'll try to get you to compromise. That's the next step. Well, if you're going to serve him, compromise. Serve. You know what Pharaoh tried to get Moses to do? Serve God his way. That's what the devil tried to get you to do. Serve God the devil's way. Compromise down. Don't do it. Don't do it. God's way, do it my way. Don't be all out for God. That's crazy. You can't go on like that. You've got to water it down. You've got to be lukewarm, don't you see? That's how the devil works. He first wants to get you to stop. If he can't get you to quit, he'll get you to compromise. And then if he can't get you to quit and he can't get you to compromise, he'll get you out of focus. He'll try to get you, instead of focused on the work of the Lord, focused on something else. Now, is that not where we're at today? Just be honest with yourself, not with me. You don't have to say anything to me. But I know this. I know we do not stay focused on the workers of the Lord as a whole. Now, you say, preacher, that's easy preaching for you. You're full time. There was a time I was not full time. I can tell you this, I was focused on the work of the Lord. It can be done. You can work a job, and in your mind, in the back of your mind, you are focused on the things of God. I did it. I might not have done a good job of it, but it was always on my mind, always a concern, always on the back burner, even when I was doing other things. And I don't know if that's normal. I don't know what's normal anymore. Used to, God came first. If you was saved, you was serious about the things of God, the Lord came first. That's just how it was. I've told you the little story about my dad. They were cutting hay, and they had Saturday night church, and the hay was down, and the storm clouds was rolling in, and Where he grew up, here's what he would say. We live from one harvest to the next harvest. And all the hay was down and it was church time. And he looked at his dad and says, we're going to leave this hay down or we're going to put it up? And his dad said, it's church time. We're going to church. I don't know the rest of the story. That just stamped on my dad's mind. And that's the story he told me as a boy. And I'm telling you, the point being, he put the Lord first regardless of the circumstances. I think a servant has to do that. I don't think you have a choice. Maybe I'm getting too stirred up. I was just going to talk to you tonight. I don't think you have a choice. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you're going to have to put a priority on His Word. Amen. 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 You know that's so. Well, he was focused on his master's command. Are we? Is that why we don't serve like we ought to? We've allowed ourselves to be pulled in every direction. 2 Timothy says we ought to stay unentangled, but we've allowed ourselves to get entangled, and we can't or we won't serve like we ought to. There's a gap. The Lord said, pray for laborers. Here's a fella who his master, a servant, his master gave him orders. His master gave him orders and he just obeyed. He just obeyed. And can I tell you, he did not quit. He did not stop. He never quit. But he did not slack on this mission until it was completed. He didn't quit. He didn't go a week or two and say, man, this trip's too hard for me. I'm going back to the house. He didn't do it. Being a servant is hard sometimes. But he was focused on it. He never lost sight of what he was supposed to be doing and what was supposed to be first in his life. And then reputation or popularity was not a concern. You see, he's the elder servant. And I take that to mean he was oversaw the rest of them based on what it said in verse number 2, that ruled over all that he had. That seems to imply to me that would include the other servants as well as the material goods. He's a servant, but really he's a big shot servant. He really could have said, I want you to do this and you do this and you do that. And he may have done some of that on the trip, but nothing said to that effect. Everything that is accomplished, it looks as if this servant is doing that. It looks to me as if this servant is carrying a big part of the workload on this mission. But you know, you never see him trying to impress anybody. He doesn't go up and say, hey, now, let me tell you, I'm Abraham's chief servant. Hey, I'm over 500 servants. I really have a lot of authority in the household. You don't see him doing that. He could care less about that. I've wondered this, if maybe we don't serve because our pride gets in the way. I suspect right now, well, I'll tell you what I did, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to. There was a little VBS magnet on the basement door downstairs. How many of you remember seeing that? I thought, I'm just going to see how long it stays here. before somebody takes the initiative, rolls that up and puts it up before the weather runs it. I bet it sat there 3 months, and finally I took it up myself, rolled it up and put it in the room down there. That's a small thing. I just wonder if we just thought that's too belittling to us to do that. Them red cups, they shine like new money in the park, in the grass or out in the parking lot. And so many times they'll lay out there for a long period of time before they're picked up. And I'm not upset about that. You may think I'm just trying to beat you down, but I'm just saying, why is it there's no servants? Because the work of the Lord demands labors. But they are at a premium. Why? Is it a pride thing? Is it a focus thing? Maybe. I don't know. I want you to notice too, he had a no-nonsense attitude. When it come to the Lord's work, he wasn't playing. He wasn't joking around. He wasn't trying to hide truth inside a joke or say something cute. He took his master's request serious. He was all business, if I can say it that way. Some of the people trying to do the work of the Lord, I told these preachers in our little preacher's meeting, I know a preacher that wore a Tweety bird, I don't know what it is, that big yellow bird. He had one of them on his tie. Can I tell you, it's just hard for me to take him serious. You say nothing wrong with it. I guess not, but I'm just telling you, it seemed childish to me. And if you've got a cartoon on your tie, don't get mad at me. I don't really care. I'm just telling you, that's where I'm at on it. Here was a fella took the work of the Lord serious, and it was no nonsense to him. He was about the work of the Lord. It was a priority in his life. Well, I've preached too long. Here's something else I like about him. I'm just going to give it to you tonight. Maybe we'll probably won't have a handful next Wednesday, Brother Ronnie, but I'm going to preach a little bit tonight anyways. He was straightforward in his speech. He was straightforward. He was direct and to the point. If you read what he said, he didn't sit around chit-chatting. He said, here's what he said. When he got to the house, he said, when he got to Laban's house or Bethuel's house, I don't think that's the correct pronunciation, but when he got there, he didn't chit-chat. He didn't try to, and I think you have to establish a relationship, but here's a fella on a mission. He states what he's there for, tells them what he wants, and says, if you can honor what I desire, tell me, and I'll go to the left or the right. That's what he's saying. He wasn't playing around. He was direct. He communicated what needed to be communicated. Well, he had a work ethic. He would work. You didn't have to worry if the new was going to wear off with this fella. You didn't have to worry about that. He did not let others hinder him. They wanted him to stay 10 days. All he had done is just sit around. He said, no, don't hinder me. He had a work ethic. I believe he realized the importance of time. I'm going to tell you, what you're going to do for the Lord, you don't have much time to do it. Now, you You young folks say, well, I got my life ahead of me. You'll be surprised how little time you have left in life, Dre. If you live to be an old man, one day you're going to wake up and it's just going to be gone. You don't have, if you young people don't have much time. You might have 60 years. Can I tell you, that'll fly by in a minute. 60 years, brother, you're going to be 78 years old. You'll be through. If you're living, be through. If the Lord tarries, you'll still be through. 60 years is not long. Well, y'all looking at me odd. Some of these older folks would tell you if you talk to them, I don't know how where it went. It's just here and gone. I think he had respect for the brevity of time. He had a work ethic. Let me just say this, and I'm closing. I'll close right here. Ezekiel 22 and 30, I'm going to read it to you again. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But here's what it said at the last. But I found none. I found none. If I make application, and I know I'm taking it out of context to do so, but if the Lord told us to pray for laborers, that tells me there's a need for laborers. And it tells me the Lord's looking for laborers. I wonder what he would say, I have found, and fill in the blank for our area. Let's bow our heads this evening. That's my heart on this text this morning. I'm going to ask Sister Emily to play. And nobody comes, nobody needs to come. We'll be through in just a minute.